Y'all, I think this is going to be a mini episode because I want to come on this show with a perky, positive attitude. And if I don't have a perky and positive attitude, I want to have some well-researched points. But I am here because as someone who lives in Los Angeles, having to hear a helicopter over my home every day this week, hear constant police sirens, and to know that ICE has been raiding just people that have lived here for decades on decades. My main street, I'll be walking to get a smoothie and have to see missing posters for mothers and grandmothers. And simultaneously, you could also visit Los Angeles. You could have been here this past week and seen none of it. But the immigration policies, obviously every country needs to have an immigration policy. Well, I mean, in my perfect world, you know, no one's illegal on stolen land. I'm all for that, but I'll be realistic. Yes. Immigration, have your policy. Does it have to be so inhumane? I'm sorry, but no one should have a missing grandmother. Are you kidding me? Honestly, go fuck yourself. And what's even more maddening is there are people that have grown up searching for safety, searching for asylum, searching for better opportunity, or coming out here for pure curiosity. You know, there's a whole range of people that come to this country, the United States of America, to seek out something better. And then they're met with pure heartlessness. It's shameful. All of these people should be ashamed of how they're treating others. I don't know what went so wrong in your upbringing to make you so apathetic to another human being. I don't know how your mind has switched so far and gotten so far from your heart that you can't understand what you're doing is cruel, doesn't even begin to cut it. It's heinous. And going to a protest feels, you know, honestly, protests, I think attending a protest is good for the attendee. Like, yes, I know that protesting is supposed to have strength in numbers to prove a message, but I also think it's almost as beneficial for the person attending to see the visual support and to also feel of the support. It kind of goes back to this narrative of being a good villager, being a good community member. When you show up at a protest, will it really matter in the big picture whether or not you specifically were there? No. But does it feel good to have another body there? And does it feel good to be a body there? Absolutely. So that was going on. It was also a weird week because it was my mom's birthday on Friday. And I think that was stressing me out just because it's my mom passed at the end of March, and then we have Mother's Day in May, and then we have her birthday in June. So it's basically the 1st of April to June 13th that really just feels like, okay, we have another day, another day. And she sends me signs, you know. I'm honestly, it was a really weird week, if I'm giving myself a little bit of credit on a personal level. Obviously, it was a horrific week on a nation level. Well, a globe, I don't know. I know that there's good and bad everywhere, and there's decent and indecent people in every industry, in every category, in every walk of life, but it felt particularly dark this week. It felt particularly bleak, and on top of that, I found a dead mourning dove on my deck. Horrible time to use alliteration. Yeah, my dog Spoon starts freaking out. I'm like, what is he barking at? This is so unlike him. And I look, and there is a perfectly laid to rest, upside down mourning dove, deceased, on my balcony. It was eerie. And then honestly, I was too sensitive to look at it. I instantly called my friend. I was like, please, please come get this dove. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with this dove. Why is there a dead dove on my deck? And he's like, so strange. There was a dead crow outside of my house today. I was like, what? So weird. And then I have a friend who's very spiritually in tune, because I was calling him more like, I need help with assistance. Like, how do we do a burial? How do we take this dove off of my deck? Then separately, I was having the question of what does this mean? And as someone who I'm tapped into my own past loved ones, like I know my ancestors and I can tell when they send me a sign. I can tell when a butterfly is from my grandpa and when it's just a beautiful butterfly. I can tell when the gust of wind is my mom and when, you know, when the mourning dove is just not related to me. And anyway, I texted my friend and I said, there's a dead mourning dove on my deck. What do you think that means? I'll send you a photo if I have your consent. She said, so weird. You're the second person to tell me about a dead bird. My friend had a bird fly through her window and die today or yesterday. I was like, huh, right now I'm 2 for 2. This is really strange. There's been 3 dead birds amongst the 3 people that I've asked. And then my friend picked me up when we were going to a workout class. We're deep in chat. And then she's like, hey, wait, but what's going on with you? I was like, I'm pretty distracted by this dead mourning dove on my deck. She's like, so weird. Yesterday, a bird flew into my parents' window and shattered it. So I know of 4 birds that are dead in the city. And it was all happening during these ice raids. And part of me is like, oh God, are they spraying something into the air? Is there some sort of toxic fume? I get all conspiracy theorist on it, but who even knows? I have no trust or faith in this government. I have a friend who works in public policy, and even him working has given him like a little bit more of a negative perspective on it all. Someone bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, not having the same, you know, enthusiasm that they arrived with. And I have hope. You know what I believe in? I believe in the people. I absolutely believe in the people. I believe in my friends. I believe in my community. But to not believe in my government sucks. It absolutely sucks. So back to my mom's birthday. Had a beautiful little moment where I'm taking Spoon to the dog park. It's just a park. It's not really a dog park. It's just I'm taking him to the park. Therefore, it's a park for him and a dog park. And I see 2 rocks and one has a flower on it. And they look like a perfect place to see. And it looks like it's a spot for me. And then the flower is where my mom's supposed to sit. You know, if you know, you know. If you're in tune to your signs, you'll think this is right on par. If not, whatever. Just let the girl with the dead mom have her journey. So I see these 2 rocks. I sit on one. I see the flower. And I feel like it's a perfect place to sit with my mom. And I have her car tattooed on my arm. And I look across. And there's only 1 car on the street, and it's the car I have tattooed on my arm, and it's my mom's car. It's just exactly. I'm like, yes, I am sitting with you. Happy birthday, Mom. Happy birthday. What a time to be alive. It's been tough. It's heavy on the heart. It really is, and I don't know what's gonna happen. I hope there's a revolution. I'm on board. I'm so on board for the revolution. I don't know when it's gonna happen. I'd like to get in the room with the people who are deciding. My current piece that I'm working on of writing, I made a little article for Substack called Baby Trap a Billionaire, My Solution to Climate Change. And it's this humorous take on, okay, if we're not going to have clean air, like I would love, you know, to marry a sweetheart. But if I have to contemplate whether or not my grandchildren are going to breathe clean air, I think I might need to procreate with a billionaire. Put me in the room. Let me chat with them. Let's figure it out because I have to think of the safety of my bloodline. They're going to have the resources. And it honestly, I've never met a billionaire. I don't know if anyone listening has met a billionaire. I would love to talk to them. I'd love to see what goes on in their head if they feel as if they exploit for sport, if they get off to it a little bit, or if they're so delusional that they think, you know, it's the same as them being a millionaire, which if you haven't seen a breakdown visually between the difference between 1 million and 1 billion, I highly recommend a quick Google search. There are people who do it in terms of time. They make comparisons in terms of grains of rice. I think it's a very valuable visual to have if you haven't seen it already. But I do wonder, are they incredibly charming? Are they these evil geniuses? I mean, there's so many in the group at this point. Isn't Rihanna a billionaire? I'm like, I don't think of Rihanna as an evil person, but then I also think of having... I don't know what charity they all do and how they give back. It could be public information. I haven't done my research. But once again, going back to the visual comparison of 1 million to 1 billion, if you have $1 billion, I do feel like it's your responsibility to see the tragedy ahead. You're good. You're good. Your family is good. Your family's family is good. Their children are good. I don't even know how many bloodlines could be financially supported by a billionaire. But you're good. You could eradicate diseases. And then I wonder for myself, if I became a billionaire, would it change me? Would I suddenly become incredibly selfish? Would I stay greedy? Would I surround myself with different people? How would I act? How would I think? What would I think of a normal person? How would it impact me? Or would I just be the same person? Because that's just an exorbitant amount of money. And with that money comes power. And I do think with that power comes responsibility. And I can't believe there is the potential to create so much more goodness in such a dark world. And that choice hasn't been made. Why not? Why don't you want to help? You guys could all get together and really do something. And it feels like what you're doing is sort of lackluster. And I don't know. I made a video for YouTube and an episode on the podcast about ChatGPT. What my thoughts are on that, discussing it, everything from the death of creativity to the environmental issues. And I made a little snarky side note in the video about how frustrating it is to have, you know, a college girl in my DMs saying, do you understand how bad that is for the environment? Like, you should not be using that. You saying thank you is ruining our planet when we have Jeff Bezos and his girl on a ship big enough to have not one but two hot tubs sailing to Cannes. There's like three dining tables on that ship. Like the CO2 and energy used on that one trip, I don't know, probably the same amount of electricity that a city uses in an afternoon. I have no idea. And it feels so wrong. It's like, why are we pointing fingers at each other? There's an obvious person, but then at the same time, I'm a flawed human. I can't remember his fiance, girlfriend, wife's name right now. There's a statue of her on the front of the ship. And if a billionaire wanted to put me on the front of a ship, I can't lie. I'd say, absolutely, put me there. It's where I want to be. Let me have it. My ego likes that. So it's confusing because I'm not a saint. But I'm also not expecting, this is not saint behavior. This feels like human decency. And I don't know why more isn't being done, why it's all corrupt. I just don't know how we got so far. And maybe the percentage of corruption has remained, but the population has increased and our access and awareness to all of it has increased. Therefore, it seems like a greater population, you know, thinking back to kings and dynasties. Like, obviously, there's always been corruption. There's the kings and the peasant, like the royalty and the pauper. Like, it's been a tale as old as time. But with the amount of visibility we have, the kings of the world, hashtag no kings, but the poor people and the rich people are seeing the same thing on their TikTok. Oh, is that even true anymore, though, because of the personalized algorithms? Interesting. I hadn't really thought about that. But my original point was, like, you're all seeing the same thing. I saw an interesting video. This girl was like, things that a billionaire can't have a better version than me. And someone's like, what did they say? They're like, phone. Like, you don't have a better phone than me. Like, if I have the newest iPhone, that's the most you can do. Like, we have the same phone. Forget what other examples she said. Maybe water? Unsure. But that was something interesting to think about because they almost feel like they are living in their entirely other reality. And I'm confused if they have so much access and they have the visibility of everyone else, why they're not using it. And maybe I'm just not seeing enough goodness this week. And it's been a hard week. I think I'm catching a cold. I think I have a UTI. I celebrated my late mom's birthday. And ICE has been protesting. People have been protesting ICE, and there has been ICE raids all week. So I've been tired. I haven't been sleeping well. I've had a headache half the week. I normally don't have to take a painkiller during the day. I had to take painkillers 3 times this week. That's so unusual for me. And I can only sleep for a few hours at a time. I'm not at my strongest right now. But I'm socializing, which is good because sometimes I'll isolate too hard and then I feel like I really lose my sense of reality. But this has been heavy on my mind and I hope I don't sound like a total doofus here in this episode and probably harping these unoriginal thoughts, but it's where I'm at right now. And if you or any of your family have been affected by these ICE raids, let me know how I can help. You know what I mean? Let me know how I can help. I'm here. But like, how am I supposed to find someone's mom or grandma? Like, what if your grandma was abducted? Oh my God, it's just evil. It feels really evil. Okay. Now on to the Q&A portion because they can be about anything. And hopefully that will end the episode on a slightly lighter mood. Sometimes I go dark. I don't think it was that dark. I think it was just unfortunately real. Okay, let's get into the questions. If you're a Patreon member, oh my God, this episode felt very Patreon coded. where if you're just listening on Spotify or Apple, I'll do ad-free extended episodes for every episode on Patreon. And I feel like they're a little bit more like this in the sense of me being a tad more open, and you got a taste of it, but there will also be an extended version for Patreon. But my point is that if you're on Patreon, we'll get into the questions. But if you're not, first a word from today's sponsors. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone, but with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults aged 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meet, R-E-J-O-Y-N.com. Have you ever had one of those days where everything just feels harder than usual and you can't quite figure out why? Recently, I've learned that sometimes it's not just stress or lack of sleep, it could be my hormones at play. And I know firsthand how much stress can mess with hormones. Between work and life and travel, it's easy to feel a little out of balance, and I know I'm not the only one. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula that fine-tunes the hormonal system, helps with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, more. So it doesn't just help with estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. It also helps with the stress hormones such as cortisol. Small habits like taking Hormone Harmony every day can have a huge impact on how we feel. Are you ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today and find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. For a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code Lexi. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Lexi for 15% off today. Everyone and their mother is talking about GLP-1s. I do not know if this is because I'm in Los Angeles or I'm close to the entertainment industry, but it's GLP-1 this, GLP-1 that. If you're interested or curious or ready to lose weight, you can use Effecty to get access to these powerful personalized GLP-1 weight loss medications in an easy and affordable way. The medications work by regulating your appetite and your blood sugar, helping you lose weight in a sustainable, science-backed way. Fill out a short medical questionnaire and then connect with a licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth consultation. And if you are eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door, no hassle, no waiting rooms. They have transparent pricing, no hidden fees, and no membership required. Right now, my listeners can get $50 off GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code Lexi at checkout. That's Effecty.com, EFFECTY.com, and use the code Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatment. Lola Margaret asked for my fave phase of the menstrual cycle. Definitely the follicular. I would say ovulation, but truthfully, I'm on birth control, so I honestly don't ovulate, but that would be my favorite. I love the follicular. The luteal phase can go fuck itself. Excuse my language. Sorry if anyone and their kids are listening. I hope none of their kids are listening to this episode. It's almost midnight at this point. I'm feeling too vulnerable right now. And not in my words. I mean, like, I just feel kind of exposed right now. Lola Margaret also asked, if I could be a fruit, what would I be? Oh, maybe I'd be a cherry. Something sweet and summery. Courtney Warren asked, how to find your own sense of style and fashion tips. What I would do is go into your closet right now or next free afternoon or evening you have, and just start trying stuff on. And that can be a really uncomfortable process because you're faced with the realities of, especially if you're feeling weird in your body or in your skin, it kind of sucks to try on clothes. Other times it can just seem kind of tiring and exhausting to be like that mobile of constantly putting on tops and bottoms. But I think it's a really healthy practice to get you used to what you own and whether or not you like it. And if you have a piece that you put on, you're like, this is actually really cute. Kind of forgot about her. Maybe I haven't given her that much love. Put that hanger towards the most visible part of the closet. You know, there's certain parts of the closet rack that get tucked away and put it in a more forefront position. Same thing within your drawers. Go through the t-shirts. I'm sure there's sort of a go-to sleeping t-shirt that you've been using or a go-to tank top, and see the other ones. And if you don't like them, say goodbye to them, you know? Give them to a friend, drop them off at a donation center, whatever you need to dispose of, or however you prefer to say goodbye to an item. But that feels really free. And then you start getting a taste of what you like out of what you own. And once you start wearing more of what you like, I think you'll start developing the sense of what sort of silhouettes or fabrics or colors that you gravitate towards. And then you can work in terms of shopping. I just think we get to a point where we hate everything in our closet. And it's like, no, you probably just need to trim the fat. There's probably just things in your closet you don't like, but go through it. Go shop your own closet. That was the whole premise of an Instagram series I had last year called Pick My Fit, where I'd give someone an activity or a situation and I would have them dress me for it, but by going in my own closet, because I really believe that you don't need new clothes, you just need fresh eyes. Marissa asked, have I read Susan Sontag? The answer is no, but let's see what she's written. Oh, born in 1933, died in 2004. Okay, obsessed. Wait. Oh no, her book Notes on Camp has a similar cover to another book I read. I thought it was the same at first. I think it's probably just the same publisher. No, I've never read anything by her. Let's see what her most popular books are. We have On Photography, Regarding the Pain of Others, Against Interpretation, Notes on Camp, Illness as a Metaphor on Women. I'd love to read. I'm going to respond to you. I'm going to say no. Which one should I start with? Oh my God, such a frustrating moment. I'm deep into Jitterbug Perfume and I've been reading it on my Kindle. The Kindle is so thin and so light. Oh my God, it never occurred to me that I could lose it. And I lost it from Saturday up until Thursday, which I'm an avid reader. So to have your book missing for a week, I had to go to Audible and I started listening to, oh, that's another reason I felt so weird this week. I listened to The Hate U Give, which has now been turned into a movie years ago at this point. Sorry, I'm getting a little sniffly. I literally think I'm coming down with something. Anyway, The Hate U Give, man. Okay, we have our main character, Star, and she has strict parents. All right, she lives in Garden Heights, which is a more low income, more like in this book is referred to as like more of the hood neighborhood. And she goes to school in a more gentrified, higher education, predominantly white neighborhood. And she has strict parents that don't let her drink. She's a good student, plays basketball, but decides to go to this party and runs into a childhood friend of hers. And a fight breaks out at the party. Guns are pulled, shots are fired. And her childhood friend says, come with me, pulls her into his car, and they drive off. And then this police officer comes and pulls them over. And he's like, why did you pull me over? He's like, license and registration. He just asks and he's like, why did you pull me over? Like, getting no context for it. Next thing you know, he's like, hands on the ground. Stars in the passenger seat freaking out. Like, what is going on? And then the police officer, when Khalil, her friend, goes in to ask her, are you doing okay? The police officer pulls out a gun and shoots him. And the book is kind of following that story and how it affects her and how it affects the community. And it's a great story. It's just a heavy story. So having that in my ear every time I get into the car, while then also hearing the helicopters, it was just pretty intense. It was pretty intense. Not a very lighthearted week. There was the strawberry moon, though, and I did see that. What are other things to be grateful for? I went shopping. It's one of my best friend's birthdays on Tuesday, Emily June. And so I drew her a picture of a baby bunny and a baby puppy because we are baby animals. And it looks kind of like a child made it, but that's sort of the vibe I'm going for. And I got her some fun little gifts. Shopping for her was fun. I also had two friends from New York in town, and I got to see a movie with them, go out to dinner with them. They're staying at this great house in Eagle Rock, which I adore. It's really nice. Lovely, great backyard, fire pit, small pool, like above ground Silverton pool that's oddly really nice and really nice landscaping, very comfortable home. So that was fun. Okay, let's get to the next question. Libby Lou 10 asked for my favorite perfume.
Love Libby Lou. If you weren't a suburban girl that had a birthday party at Libby Lou, you missed out on absolute iconic infamy.
Now, favorite perfume. Let's get into it. I'd like to give a little history on my scents. I'm actually incredibly glad that you asked. The first perfume I ever loved, I wore all through middle school, and that was the Green Apple perfume by DKNY called Be Delicious. Then, when I was maybe in eighth grade, for Christmas, I received a perfume sampler from Sephora, where you got to sample a bunch of perfumes and then go into the store and redeem it for a full size. And I chose Hypnotic Poison by Dior. And that was my high school scent. And that, I sort of wore those back and forth. I don't exactly know what I wore after that. But then at some point, I started to get into Maison Margiela's Replica perfume. By the Fireplace was my favorite. And then I sort of got into Beachwalk for a little bit. My current favorite, and now this is an occasional scent. It's not a daily scent because it is a really specific scent. It's their From the Garden, and it smells like tomato basil. It's really fresh. It's just a bit strange. I like it, and it's very spring to me, very spring and summer. If I just want sort of a pheromone spray, I love Maya, M-A-Y-A, base. It's a perfume oil. It's pretty pricey. All of the perfumes I like are pretty pricey, unfortunately. And I'm down to very little of this, but this is the one men always compliment me on, is the Maya base. Then straight men, I should say. Straight men love the Maya base. Then girls and gays. Oh, I also wore Le Labo. I wore Santal. I also love Noir. Moving on. Those are classics. Then I really got into Aesop. Adesis. If you're not familiar with Aesop's perfumes, they're all experiential in the same way that Maison Margiela replicas are, but not, they're even more abstract, where Beachwalk by the Fireplace, you can kind of understand the scent that it's going for. It's like, oh, it's going to smell beachy, or it's going to smell like a fireplace. Whereas Aesop's are named Adesis, which is one of my absolute favorites, and it smells like a fairy wonderland. And then there's Vierre, and that's the smell of you sitting under a plum tree as the sun sets and summer is coming to an end. And then my newest favorite, which is Arnor. Those three scents, so delicious. So, so delicious. And then Claudia came out with Cycler. So I have my 8 Cycler samples, or not samples, perfume oils. They're just like really portable, which is why I thought of it. They're great. But I love Sex Musk. I love Vanilla Verve, Cedar Supreme, Lover's Leather, Sacred Santal. And then most recently, Silver Lake opened up a, what's it called? It's like DG&D. I'm not familiar with this brand. It's really popular though. DS and Durga, they have a scent called Steamed Rainbow. It smells like a waterfall. I don't know how to explain that a fragrance that smells like water can be so special, but if you have the chance to go and smell this, I cannot recommend it enough. I would recommend all the perfumes that I've mentioned, but what is my favorite scent? I'm not entirely sure. I would say off the cuff, if I had to pick only one right now, I'm kind of moving towards Vierre over Adesis. Adesis was very much last year's scent. I don't know. I'm kind of just like feeling sexy Vanilla Verb by Cycler. But my favorite, I would say Le Labo, Aesop, Cycler. And then you have to try Steamed Waterfall. I mean, what's it called? Steamed Rainbow. Long answer, Libby Lou. Long answer. As Sue Pamela asks for manifesting mantras, I'm not much of a mantra girl. I do subscribe to Be Magnetic, which they have deep imaginings, and those are sort of like these guided meditations that go into your subconscious. And if I ever feel like I need a little bit of a mental shift, that could actually be good for this week. I don't know why I didn't utilize that tool this week. I felt just so distracted. I was not in my body. I was not centered or grounded at all. I felt like I was in my body, but just not connected to the earth. I felt really disconnected, which is why I felt so much fear when that I didn't feel the connect. I swear I mean this with earnesty when I say it, but that's why I felt so strange when I couldn't connect the dead bird with a spiritual meaning. Because I'm like, I know when something's a sign for me. And a lot of times these things can mean, you know, a warning about someone or the end of a cycle, a new beginning. But none of those things resonated with me. So the fact that four other people were like, oh, so strange. Like, yeah, today there was a dead bird. Today there was a dead bird. Yesterday there was a dead bird. I'm like, oh, it's way more frightening for me to know that this could be something in the earthly realm. Don't mind that tangent. I don't use mantras, but if I ever feel like I need some words in my head, I will use a to be magnetic DI. Annalise asked how to stop being chronically late. Wow, I love that a chronically late person is asking how to stop, because I think you should just shift from, you know what I think the first step is? Everyone has their own concept of time. I think I run, if I run late, I'm about like a 10-minute late person. I'm never, oh my God, there's a dinner reservation. You know the friend that's going to actually show up like towards the end of the dinner and thinks that's acceptable? At that point, I'm going to let you know I'm not coming. I'm a 10-minute late person. If it's an actual appointment, I'm going to be right on time or like a minute or two early. What I would first figure out is how late are you? Just start to monitor if you need to be somewhere. And you probably know. You could also ask your friends and family, like, about how late am I? Am I running a half hour late? Am I running an hour late? What's going on? And if you're chronically late, I would say it's probably at least a half hour or at least 20 minutes. And then try working from there. You have to figure out if it's a mental block of just getting yourself off the bed, out of the towel to actually start getting ready, or if you don't realize how long it actually takes you to get ready. Like maybe you don't know that you need an hour to get ready and you think you need a half hour and you should just start getting ready earlier. I think the first step to stop being chronically late is to figure out how late you are and what part of your routine is taking you the most time. Just, it's going to take a little awareness, which is, you can't be lazy, but everyone's going to be so thankful if you stop being late. Oh, Beldam asks, forever in the city or forever in nature? If you asked me this 10 years ago, I'd say forever in the city, but without a doubt, forever in nature. Love a city, but love nature so much more. The person who gets sparkling water. How do you maintain happiness? Great username, by the way. I'm a naturally optimistic person, but I feel like that almost goes in the same realm as someone who's naturally thin, where you think it's genetic. But there's probably all of these micro habits that go on without me even thinking to be more of an optimistic person. Like there has to be so many micro decisions that I've made that are so habitual, I'm not even aware of it. So let's see. I'm pretty reflective and I constantly say thank you in my head or out loud. And it's not just two people, it's about things. If something really nice happens, like when I was I also went to the beach on Tuesday. That was really beautiful. That's something to be grateful for. I was at the beach on Tuesday and there was a perfect breeze. And I remember just thinking in my head, thank you. It was such a good breeze. This breeze feels so good. Thank you. I didn't get burned. I thought I was going to get a sunburn. I didn't. I said thank you in my head. So a lot of thank yous go on silently. And I think that just keeps me almost noticing all the things to be thankful for. How else do I maintain happiness? I feel like I have pretty good hygiene. Like I exercise. Generally, I sleep well. Generally, I eat well. And just general hygiene. So I feel like I take good care of my physical self, which definitely doesn't hurt. If I start eating bad foods, I start noticing that my mood gets worse. So I'm pretty good about regulating those more physical things. And I also think that's a pretty big contribution to my happiness. But it is something to think about. I think I also do just have a little bit of a natural zest for life. But then I also had kind of grumpy family members. And it was like, okay, are we all just going to bitch and whine the entire time? Like someone has to be the bubbly one. And I was like, all right, I guess that's me. I can do that. Oh, Linda asked what was the last crazy dream I had and what do I think it means? I had a lot of crazy dreams. Whenever I'm sleeping strange hours and strange amounts of time, for example, last night I think I went to bed at 1 and then I woke up at 2 and I read for a while and then I went back to bed maybe, I don't know, an hour later and then I woke up again at 4 or 5 and I read for another hour or so and then I went to bed and woke up again at 9 and then I took Spoon out and then I read again. And then I finally got up maybe like 45 minutes after that. So that was really strange because I was having these series of mini dreams throughout it. And every time I would wake up and then start reading, I would be waking up from, sometimes they were underwater. I never write down my dreams, which My therapist used to always get on me about. She really wanted me to write down my dreams, but they just slip away so fast and I don't have the patience. And I know you can dictate them. I could do a voice note of my dream, but I just haven't gotten into the space of caring. And then also, I think telling someone about your dream is like telling someone about your injury story. No one can picture it, so we're all gonna stop listening. Rachel wants to know the put yourself first to being a bitch ratio. Oh, okay. So you don't want to be a pushover. You want to put yourself first. If you notice that you're constantly putting everyone else's needs for unnecessary things, like when you and your group of friends are deciding where to eat, you should be able to vocalize to say like what you want. For example, there was 5 or 6 of us today trying to decide what to eat. My friend's from Lebanon, so I was like, let's go to a Lebanese restaurant. Like, I've been wanting to try Lebanese food, but I want to go with you because you'll know what to order. Now, other people wanted tacos. Did we ultimately get tacos? Yeah. Am I fine with that? But I'm so glad that I at least voiced that's what I wanted because I knew that's what I wanted. That was my first pick. I don't want to just say I want tacos because it's easier. Am I happy to get tacos? Yeah, absolutely. And then I have a neighbor and she's just a bitch. Like, literally, I could say hi to her and she would look at me and blink. I'm like, that's being a bitch. You're not, there's no reason to blatantly ignore me. Spoon, you know, wants to go up and say hi to her. She looks like she wants to kick him in the face. It's crazy. Another neighbor said goodnight to her recently and she just shut the door in her face. And we're all like, what's wrong with them? Like, they're both kind of assholes. It's so weird. That's being a bitch. Like, putting yourself first is not going out of your way perpetually to make your life harder. And then being a bitch is going out of your way to make someone else's life harder. Think it should be a little bit of like, let's make sure I'm getting what I want. I'm filling my needs, but I'm being kind along the way. You know, doing a random act of kindness, doing a favor, but not to my own detriment. Like, for example, if I'm on my way home and my friend needs something and I'm going to pass it anyway, yeah, I'll gladly do that. Being a pushover is like, oh, you don't feel like getting gas? Let me go take your car. I'll drive it to the gas station. I'll get gas for you just because they feel like watching a TV show. Now, if your friend needs to get somewhere and has like an incredibly busy day and you know it would mean the world to them for you to get in their car and get gas for them, as a one-time favor, but make sure it makes sense for everyone. Don't just be someone's bitch to be someone's bitch, just like you shouldn't be a bitch to be a bitch. I kind of like that as an ending note. I don't know if that really concludes things, but I kind of like that. I like where we're at. And I said it's sort of a short episode. Patreon, I need to go to bed and I'll come back tomorrow with something juicy, but I'm exhausted. This week has taken it out of me, which doesn't even feel fair to say. It really doesn't. Thank you so much for listening. This is not typically the mood that I show up in for episodes, but is what it is. And if you made it all the way to the end, thanks. I have a YouTube channel and an Instagram, and I am writing a little bit more. And I want to expand on my Baby Trap a Billionaire video, which I have been, it's not a video, it's a Substack, which I have been doing. I've been writing a lot this week, and that feels good. So there's more to see, more to read. And I will talk to you here next week. Thanks for listening. XOXO, Lexi.